extended family. And we're going to be in the book of Ruth, that little book of Ruth in the Old Testament, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, four chapters long. I've never preached a message in all of my years on the secret or specific help for a blended family. And I'm just really glad the Lord allowed me to live long enough to do it. Amen. And I'm sorry I didn't do it early. I'm ashamed of myself. But hey, we're making up for some lost time. Amen. And I'm going to hit some things today. I think that'll be a help to us. Today, secret to a blended family. Let's go, Rod. See what we got. What I'd like to do is I'm going to just read Ruth 1 through 10. We'll stop here and there, make some comments, and then we're going to get to where I really want to take us today. I can't re-preach everything that we've been doing in this series, but basically, Naomi, her husband's dead. She had two sons. They've died. The daughter-in-law's now lost their husband. One daughter-in-law stayed back in Moab where they were all living, which is way back in the desert. It's a heathen area. Ruth says, I want to go back home with you, Naomi, to Bethlehem. They made it back to Bethlehem. They're poor people. They're about to starve to death. They have to go out in the field. Ruth does just to get enough food to eat. God's blessing her life. God's been involved in this whole story because there is a secret plan of God. Amen? And that's working in all of our lives, I believe. And so now they're back, and she's gone out to the field gleaning. And guess what? There's a guy whose field she gleans in who's took a little shine to her. All right? And lo and behold, out of the whole people, she just happens to go on somebody's property who is related to them. And in the situation, the culture in those days, if someone was a widow and their husband had died, if there was a living brother, he would take her to be his wife. I know it's weird, it's different, that's the way they did it. And they would then have a child so that his brother's name could live on and his brother would still have a family and the heritage wouldn't die. Does that make sense? That's what they did. Okay? If there was no brother, it would be the nearest of kin. And so it's called a kinsman redeemer. And so she now has taken the next step. That's what we saw last week, secrets to a lasting love. Naomi has told Ruth that this Boaz is going to be doing the grain deal at the threshing floor and everything, and go there and lay at his feet, you know, in the middle of the night after he's eaten and drunk and everything, and this is a crazy story. But anyway, she does it! She does it! And she tells him, you are my near kinsman. And basically she's offering herself to him to be his wife. But there's some things that go along with it, and that's Naomi. And some other things are involved. And she thinks he's her nearest kinsman. Don't go to sleep on me or you're awake, say it. If I got to do this, you got to listen. Here we go. Anyway, so she tells him, you're my near kinsman. And he goes, I'd be happy to take care of you. Don't worry, don't fear, don't whatever. But he says, I'm not your closest kinsman. And she goes, what? But anyway, so don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. So she goes back home, and we pick up our story. Here we go. Verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate. Now he's going to the gate. What is the gate all about? The gate was like our court system today. If you have a legal matter, if you're going to claim somebody, if you're going to buy somebody's property, that kind of stuff, you did it at the gate. In front of people, in front of witnesses. So he goes to the gate of the city, because that's where everybody passed by. That's where the elders would sit in the gate. When you read your Bible, you'll see that kind of stuff. And he set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. So he's sitting at the gate, knowing the dude's going to come by. And so when the dude comes by, who's the nearer kinsman than him, y'all still with me? He says this, a country word. Ho! 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 Okay? Y'all thought that was a rap word or something, didn't you? It ain't. Okay? Ho! Whoa! Okay? Such a one! Turn aside! Sit down here! So he beckons him, all right? You with the story so far?
Yeah.
I hope so. It's just verse one. Here we go. He turned aside, he sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city. Why? Because this is where they handled judicial matters, legal matters, real estate matters, all these kinds of things. So he took 10 elders of the city. Word elders doesn't necessarily mean that they were really old, but most likely they were. Because the word elders means, in the Hebrew, long beards.
Okay? So he took 10 of these long bearded guys and said, sit down here, and they sit down. So he had him a little legal bang going on. Alright? Can you see Boaz is sort of, he's sort of wanting to get on with this, and he's got some interest in this, doesn't he? He's taking initiative. Okay? He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that's come again out of the country of Moab, sells a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's, or our kinsman Elimelech's. This wasn't Ruth's land, this was Naomi's land. And this is really about a land issue. And so Naomi's back in the area. She didn't have any sons to work the land. They're about to starve to death, you know, other than the help they've gotten. And so it just makes sense, this land's going to be sold. And so this is how he approaches him. And so he says, I thought to advertise thee. Just in case you don't believe advertising's in the Bible. There it is. Amen? I had some folks who went to one church that were critical of me and us because we advertised Fellowship Church. Actually said, you know, churches don't need to advertise. Let me tell you what that is. Stupid. Stupid! We'll advertise everything else, but you know Jesus and eternal life and having sins forgiven and having your marriage back together and, you know, being able to pray and love people, that doesn't matter. Don't advertise that. Are you crazy? I don't think there's anything more important in the world than telling people about Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't think there's anything more important in the world than if you've got a church that preaches the Word of God that you'll tell people about. Yeah. And try to get them here. Now, I know what my purpose on this planet is. That is my purpose. That's my calling. And so, there's a good scripture you can quote. Here we go. I thought to advertise thee. He just wanted to summons him, you know. Saying, buy it before the inhabitants. Buy it before these people. Before the elders of my people. There's this land, and if you're going to buy it, buy it. If you'll redeem it, redeem it. If you want this piece of property, you have the right to it. And since it belonged to family, he's probably thinking he might get a good deal. Have you ever thought that before? Because it was family, you're going to get a good deal? And it wasn't? No, I'm kidding. No. But sometimes you do, because it's family. But if you'll not redeem it, tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides you. And I'm after you. And what did the guy say? Say it with me. I will what? So what was the guy's response? Here it is. Pop it up. Sold! There's a piece of land, probably a nice piece of land. You got first rights to it. So the guy bought it. That's what he wants to do. He said, it's sold, baby. I'll take it. You think that's what Boaz wanted to hear, yes or no? Huh. He won't hear that at all. So he had a plan B. Here we go. This is very important if you're buying real estate. Ready? Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. What do we got? Roger, is there a situation? It's what we call the fine print. You got to read the fine print. Hey, now he was all over this stuff about buying that nice piece of property. Sure, man, I'm on it, sold. But Boaz says, hold the phone. There's a cloud in the title. You know? It says, you've got to buy it also of Ruth. What does that mean? You want to marry her? Have a child? Continue the lineage? So that the name of the dead can be upon his inheritance. Now here's what he said. The kinsman said, I cannot redeem it. Boy, that was a sale that went by the wayside pretty quick. He said, I can't do it. I can't redeem it for myself. Can't do it. Nope. Take it back. Ain't buying it. Lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to yourself, because I can't redeem it. Now is that music to Boaz's ears? That's what he wanted, because he had already taken a shine to Ruth in the first place. This is the way he wanted it to work out. What's this stuff that's going to mar my own inheritance? Well, here's the deal. The kinsman redeeming is really not about Boaz. The kinsman redeemer is the child that's going to come of this relationship. And that child is going to, it's about that son that's born. Amen? That son that's born is going to carry on his father's name and be able to take care of the family. Does that make sense to you? That's what it's all about here. And this guy, he was more interested in buying the land for himself, for his own portfolio. And that's why he says it'll mar my inheritance. Why? Because when the kid grew up, the kid was getting back the land. Does that make sense to you? And so this wasn't a good investment for him, was it? Because he didn't care about that. It's not what he wanted to do. All right? So that's where we're headed this morning. So now, let's keep moving. Finish reading this, and we'll get to where we're headed. This was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changes. How did they do contracts in those days? This is one of the ways they did it. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe. He plucked off his shoe, and he gave it to his neighbor. Especially when it comes to land. The way they would do land deals in those days is they would go, and if they were going to buy the land, they would walk on the land. They would ceremoniously walk on the land. They were staking claim. This is my land. I'm buying this land. How many before you build a house, you walk on your land? Did I say it? Something about it, isn't it? Something about walking on the land. That's what they did. Well, since this was a deal outside the gate, the shoe stood for that. It stood for that. You know? I'm not walking on it right this second, but watch this. Okay? That's what it was all about. So, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his shoe. That's what's going on here. It's not that hard to figure out. Verse 9. Boaz said unto the elders, and unto all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, that's two sons, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Your witnesses this day. Okay? Sounds like a pretty solid contract, didn't it, in the way they did things. That was pretty cool. That's how they handled it. Now let's go to the message. Here we go. It's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair up like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's a story of a man named who was bringing up three boys of his own. They were four men living all together, yet they were all alone. Isn't that enough? Can't everybody sing that song? I hate that song. I said that to Allison the other day. He said, I hate that song. And he said, you sung it, I'm going to be singing it all week. It's one of those kind of da 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 da. They cursed you. Here we go. The Bladed Family. And a lot of us grew up, we grew up seeing this kind of show on television. And it all just seemed to work out just hunky-dory, you know. That's not necessarily reality. Let's move on, Raj. See what we got this morning in our message. The blended family. What is a blended family? This is a message for all families, by the way. Singles, if you're widowed, it makes no difference. Because you're in it. You're here. You're part of it. Okay? That's the thing about a blended family. But a blended family, we think of a blended family like this. Maybe it's a mom who has two children. She's been divorced. She's got those two kids, and she meets a man who has maybe a son, he's divorced, and they decide to get married. That's a blended family. Is that understandable? That's one scenario. It could be the mom has two kids, the man she meets to marry doesn't have any kids. That's a blended family. Could be mom has two kids, she meets the man, he has no kids, the two of them have children together. It's getting more blended, isn't it? Okay, it could be mom doesn't have any children, man has the children. You see what I'm saying? Blended family. It could be that, no, it's just a lot of things like that. And then part of that is all the other connections to it. You don't have, you know, one set of grandparents, two set of grandparents, maybe three set of grandparents. So it can just be very difficult, very hard. And a lot of people have experienced this, and a lot of people in our church experience this. And I applaud you, and I'm here to help you. Amen? I'm here to help you, be a blessing to you, and encourage you. That don't mean you're going to like everything I say today. Okay? But I believe the Lord's going to bless. Let's go. Let's look at a couple of things here on the screen. Married for only 4 months, Kit and Tracy are constantly fighting. They admit that 90% of their arguments boil down to a my kids versus your kids conflict. It's gotten so bad that they often don't speak at the dinner table. That's rough. Here we go. We'll get another one. Married for 6 months, Dan and Charlie each brought a child into the marriage. Charlie's son says, stepmothers are evil. Deanna feels so alone that she's tempted to ask her husband to choose between his son or her. Next. When Robin married Brandon, she became a stepmother to two of his children and quickly became pregnant. Now she provides daycare to all of her children. Feels like she doesn't have a life and is already thinking about divorce. Blended family. I thought about it. Thought about it this week, and this is my message as far as my thoughts, and certainly I don't have all the answers, but I thought about it. Both men on our staff have a blended family, and I love them. And they mean the world to me, these two guys. And by the way, I don't want you messing with me. You know what? Listen to me. You know why? Because both the men that work on our staff are both black belts. Did you know that, sir? True story. One in Okinawa karate stuff, and the other one in Taekwondo. So I get so much out of these guys, and I shared with them this week, and they shared with me. And so I have a real passion in the message today. I really care about what I'm saying. So let's go. Let's go. Are y'all still all right? Okay, hang in there with me. Here we go. Secret to a blended family. I got five things this morning. Five keys. Now, I wish you'd write them down if you can, or go to the website. You can go to the website Monday afternoon, Tuesday, right in there. Download, click on it. You can just do that. It doesn't take a rocket science. All you got to do is be able to push an arrow. I had Roger make it so people like Clark could do it. Okay? And you can see this message again and just get the stuff in your heart. First of all, passion. If you're in a blended family or you're going to be in a blended family, you need to have passion. See, the first guy in the story today didn't have passion, did he? Oh, he liked the land. Oh, the land. Oh, my, the land. But what about Ruth? What about Naomi? What about the deal? Huh? He didn't have that passion. Let's keep moving. Psalm 145:16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of everything. In a blended family, in any family, for crying out loud, you need to have desire. You need to have passion. Keep moving. Some other scriptures. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you feel the passion in that verse? So, passion. You need that kind of attitude and commitment in a blended family. Passion. Let's keep moving. What is passion? Here's what I'm saying. You gotta want it. Can you say that with me? Say it with me. You gotta. Help me. Come on. You gotta want it. Did the guy in the story want it? Yes or no? No. Did Boaz want it? Say. Boaz was all over it, man. Boaz wanted it. Boaz had passion. Boaz had a plan. He was all about doing this. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. Okay? You gotta want to make this work. Say that with me. You've got to want to make this work. Not like, well, you know, she's sort of cute, and I know there's two little kids, and I guess I could try. Ha! That ain't gonna fly. This come hell or high water, I'm gonna charge hell with a water pistol, and I'm gonna make it work. You see what I'm saying? I want it! And I want it to work! I think that's huge in a blended family. Like I said, blended or not, you need this in your family. Would you agree with that? You need this. Let's keep moving. I've got a key to every one of these. Be realistic. Be realistic. Be real in your passion. Be realistic. Well, I really want it, man. This is going to all work out just hunky-dory. Be realistic. Okay? It's tough enough to have a wife and a husband coming together, two sinful creatures, two different people all together, getting along and second list. It's not that easy. Now you throw in a couple of kids here and a couple of kids here. That 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ah! You know what I'm saying? This is rough. That's it. I'm telling you, be realistic. Don't set unrealistic goals. Well, I'm leaving you. Your child thought I was evil. Well, that's what they think. Be realistic. Come into this with realism. This is no cakewalk. You need to think it through long and hard, but especially before you make this decision, okay? To enter into this blended family, okay? But certainly, if you're in a blended family, you need to have that kind of commitment. That kind of commitment. Passion! Oh, I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about nothing. You should be more passionate about anything other than seeing your family work, okay? You got to want it. Let's go to number two. Purpose. Daniel 1:8. Some verses on purpose, just so you can feel what it is. Daniel purposed in his heart. He was taken prisoner from Jerusalem, brought to Babylon, given certain kinds of food. But you know what? He purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He wasn't going to eat things that were called unclean. He loved God, and that was the way he thought, that was the way he believed, and he wasn't going to do it. And the reason he was able to stay strong is because he what? He purposed in his heart. So he wasn't going to do it. Let's look at another verse. Over in 2 Corinthians 9, this is about some poor people that wanted to give an offering. They were very poor, and they wanted to give an offering to Christians and to share the gospel with those that were struggling. Here's what Paul says. This I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he what? Purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Talk about these poor Christians. Watch it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. They purpose, and we must purpose, in our heart to give. We have to do things on purpose. And in a blended family, you've got to have purpose. You've got to have heart. You've got to have strong desire. Let's keep moving. Another verse. Here's the Apostle Paul. After these things were ended, Paul, what? Help me now, please. Purposed in his spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem. And you might think, well, so what? He's on a picnic. Big deal. No. See, if he goes back to Jerusalem, they kill him. He purposed in his heart to go back to Jerusalem. He purposed in his spirit to go back to Jerusalem. He had purpose. If you want the blended family or any family to work, you've got to have purpose. Now, what am I talking about? Pop it up. You do whatever it takes. So, can you say that with me? Do whatever it takes. Some of you might not be used to me talking like that. If you've been here, this is just the way I talk. But here's how I had coaches when I was a kid growing up. I played ball. I love sports. I watched the game last night. Loved it. Dallas won. Good. Hope the Heat wins, though. But anyway. But I love sports. The coaches that I had in my life were cheeky, right square in the tail coaches. That's what I had. I didn't have, how you doing? It's nice to see you. Maybe I grew up in a different time zone or something over there in Rockingham. But you know what? Guess what came out of Rockingham? Winners. What'd you say? Who knows? Bucky came out of Rockingham. American Idol, Bucky. Anyway, you're funny. Anyway, but you know what? We won. It didn't feel good, everything the coach said. But you know, that was his attitude. That was my coach's attitude. You do whatever it takes. You get out there. If we're down in the night, you get on. Oh, I can't hit. It's the last game you play in, Jack. You believe and do whatever it takes. You've got to believe like that in your marriage. I mean, I'm talking about tail. You've got to stay with it. Are you hearing me today? I mean, I know this isn't that nice little lecture. This is reality. Do whatever it takes to make this family work. Purpose in it. Here's the key. Be ready. Be ready. When we played ball, here's how we were taught. I don't know how they teach them today. Here's how we were taught. If you're an infielder, you don't stand like this. You don't stand with flat-footed. You don't stand like that. You don't even stay like this, flat-footed. Here's how you do it. God's given you something called the balls of your feet. Get on them. All right? You get up like that. Are you hearing me? Second. Anybody else train like that?
Yeah.
You know, the balls of your feet. Like this, it's harder for me. Then I got to get up on the balls of my feet to move. But if I'm already on the balls of my feet, now all I got to do is move. I don't have to do this other stick. Okay, now I get on the balls of my feet. And then go ahead and be on the balls of your feet. That's how you need to be in your family. You need to be like this. Be like this. Just like that. You do whatever it takes. I'm going to make my marriage work. I'm going to make this family work. I have purpose in my heart. I'm on the balls of my feet. Because I'm going to do whatever it takes. That's number two. Be ready. Number three. Proud. Can you say that?
Proud.
Proud. Well, I got out of breath doing that. Just thinking about exercise wears me out. Man. Whoa. Priority. Priority. Let's pop it up. Psalm 127. If there's anything I was going to say this morning, this is it. 127, 3 through 5. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Say that verse 3 with me. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. Proud. Pop it up, Raj. Talking about a blended family. Be a parent first and not a player. Be a parent first and not a player. It's interesting, when somebody goes through a divorce, you can go to the Hallmark store and buy them a card. Here's what it says. You're free! Have fun! Party, baby! All right! If you look real carefully, there's cards for kids. Sorry I can't be with you as much as I'd like. Hope you're doing well. Hope things are going well. Isn't that funny? Party! Hope things are okay. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. I'm ugly as a dog on this. Whether you like me, I could care less. I'm speaking for Jesus Christ today. Priority. Be a parent first and not a player. You know what? These little boogers right here, they matter. You know what? That's a bunch of crap. Playing the bar scene and going out there. If you've got kids, I'm going to say it again, are an idiot. Horrible. See, that's the kind of coach I have. That's the kind of coach I have. You know? I think that's the kind of coach we need today.
Amen.
In this world we live in. You know? I'm not trying to judge you unless you feel like crap. And I'm telling you, I want to help you. I want to help you. Listen, be a parent first and not a player. And listen, being a player can happen after we know this, the single scene. You know, you got two kids at home, and you're out there trying to find either a woman or a man, and you know, sometimes you're hanging with them, they don't even know you have a kid, because if they know you got a kid, they don't want anything to do with you. Let me tell you something. If they don't want something to do with you and your children, they don't want anything to do with you anyway. Are you hearing me? Be a real person. Be a whole person. Be honest. Be real. If your children aren't going to be your priority, whose priority they're going to be? Nobody's going to love your baby like you're going to love your baby. Be a parent first and not a player. Let's keep moving. Matthew 5. Now I say this on good authority today. Here's what Jesus said. You think clerk's tough. I'm nothing compared to how tough Jesus was. Look at it. You see two times in the scripture where Jesus said something that was over the top. It was like violent. Here it is. You think it's turning over the tables in his father's house. I mean, hell, that was pretty tough. It was nothing like this. Look what he said. You've heard it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. Watch it. If your right eye offend you, pluck it out. That's tough talk, ain't it? That's much harder than Coach Whitfield ever talked to me. Cast it from you. It's more profitable for thee that one of your members should perish and that the whole body should be cast into hell. That's pretty tough talk. But look, he had that same kind of tough talk on another occasion. Look at this one. Matthew 18:5. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Let me tell you something. That's one kind of capital punishment that works every time. You don't have to worry about the sparky not working. Excuse me, I know that's ugly. That's how the Savior felt. You offend a little child? It's better that something weighs anywhere from 400 to 2,000 pounds be hung around your neck and buried in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must be that offenses come, but woe to that man to whom the offense comes. Verse 8. Wherefore, if your hand, here it is again, or your foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. He didn't stop. If your eye offends you, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed, watch it, that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, now this is very important, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Did you know kids have angels? Kids have angels. You know where their angels are? They're watching over them, but they're also looking at the Father's face. And you want to mess with one of them? You want to treat your kid without any love, not make them a priority? Tell you something, friend. There's an angel in heaven who's at the throne of God. And you're not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. Your children need to be a priority. A priority. Huge. Let's keep moving. A couple other things we want to say. You might say, Clark, you grew up in a really white world. How can you even talk on such an issue? One is, I am no authority. I have done quite a bit of counseling and working with people. That still doesn't make me an authority. But you know what? I grew up in a blended family. My mom and dad didn't get along my whole childhood. But I had six older brothers and sisters. They stayed together. But mama ran around on daddy and divorced him when I was 11. And then the man she'd been sleeping around with came and moved in our house. He moved in our house, not as daddy, as a man down the hall that's messing with my mama. That's how I grew up. So this is why I say that. Children today are shelled, shuffled, and they get to shack because they're not a priority. Do you hear me? Don't shell your kid. Don't shuffle your kid from here to here to here to here. It's all right that that kids get shuffled because it's because you have to, because you got to work. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about so you can make them a priority. Be a parent first, not a player. Keep moving. Why does it matter, preacher? 50% of girls today grow up without a father. Actually, that number is probably 55%. 50% grew up without a father. Next, 30% of those 50% will be molested or become pregnant by the age of 13. Because they're not our priority. Make your kids a priority. In a blended family. Now listen, I am not saying if you have two children and you get married and the person you marry has two children that you're not to care for each other as husband and wife. I'm not saying that. Sure you care for each other. But so often, here's what happens. You want to care so much for that person, they don't matter. This matters more. They matter. And if you can't go into that kind of agreement like that, don't! You got to love those kids. Are you hearing me today? That's tough. Is it tough in here? It's tough, ain't it? It's tough. But I believe we can be winners. I believe we can win. Amen? It's tough. What else? Here's the key. Be responsible. Be responsible. Be responsible. Be responsible. Be responsible. Can you say that with me? Be responsible. That's a couple more times. Be responsible. What do you think the proper response is? My kids? I'm a parent? Or I'm a player? It should be right here, baby. This is what I'm, this is what I'm about. It's about my youngest. All right? Fourth thing. Wow. That was tough. I knew it was going to be rough. Number four. People. Five things about a blended family. People. Here it is. Enlist and include the positive support of others, especially family. Okay? People. How do I make my blended family work? How can I make this work? Enlist and include the positive support of other people, especially family. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to have your family help you. Amen? I mean, don't expect it. Don't go, you owe me! They might rap your kid if they don't like you. You hear me? Enlist the positive support. Don't be like that. But enlist them. If they want to help, certainly. Nothing wrong with asking for help. That's okay. A positive people. Do not put your kid with somebody who is negative, who is not positive, and who is not safe. You'll stand before God one day. The old millstone might be just ready for you. I don't understand verses like that. They bother me. You hear what I'm saying? Listen. In this positive support, I want to say this as well. If you've got family that's as mean as a snake, they're negative, they put people down, don't put your children with them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, they're my family. I'm supposed to. No, you're not. You are responsible for those children. They are your priority. Listen, don't put them with people that are better like that. Okay? Don't do it. Positive people. People that are going to be encouragement. A safe environment. Look at what our story said. We didn't finish it. Here it is. All the people that were at the gate, the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the women, the woman that is coming to thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. See, the elders were behind them. They said, oh, great, Ruth and Boaz, God bless you. I hope he grows up to be famous. Look at the women in the story. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord. Naomi was bitter. But they said to her, which has not left you this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. They were positive, weren't they? Can you feel it? Say, they were positive. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of your life, a nourisher of your old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loves thee, which is better to thee than seven sons. That's boring. Positive people in your family. Look at this. Grandma. In a blended family, grandma can help you. Grandma, step up to the plate. Grandma, be there. Help them, grandma. Can you do that? Grandpa, can you be there? Can you help? Can you be a blessing? Well, I've moved to Florida. I never want to see him again. Would you repent today? Amen. Come on. They need you, man. They need you. They need you. How many of us play a better ball game if the bleachers are full? Amen. And they're rooting for you, man. Go, man. Go, man. Go, man. You can be the man. Hit the ball, man. Come on, baby. And all of a sudden, yeah. People, get up there, grandma. Look at Naomi. Bitter. She was so broken. Look at Naomi. What's she doing? She took the child. She laid it in her bosom. She became a nurse to her. What does that mean? She cared for the child. She loved the child. That's the beautiful thing about a blended family. It can all, so often it can be painful. But you know what? The beautiful thing about a blended family, it can bring hope again to people. It can bring hope again to people. You can have hope again. And other people who thought, oh no, you're not going to make it. Then all of a sudden they start to see things. Oh, and they get involved. And it's encouraging. It's a good thing. And God will bless you. Grandma, get on board. Come on. Here's the key. Get reinforcements. Get reinforcements. The blended family, every family needs reinforcements. The blended family especially needs reinforcements. You agree with that? Amen or amen? Amen. Amen. We need reinforcements. That's where this church comes in. That's where this church comes in. I can't think of anything that would probably make me more angry than seeing our church people jump down our kids' throats. Our older church people, our middle-aged church people, we don't need to jump down the children's throat in this church. We need to put our arm around them in this church, love on them in this church, encourage them in this church. Because guess what? At least they're here, ain't they? Second, that's the kind of church and environment we need. And if you hate young people, you just hate children, I'm sure there's another good church that would love to have you. We need people that are going to love kids, love people, love them, man. I mean, I know they get on my nerves too sometimes. I've got a couple, all right? But in the spirit of the living God, I can take it, amen? Come on. I can be a blessing. I can get in with it. Come on. We can do it. We get to be that kind of people. Last thing. Promise. And I'm done this morning. Thank you for listening. Psalm 128. I just read the whole Psalm. Here it is. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in His ways. Thou shalt eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be. It shall be well with you. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house. Your children like olive plants round about the table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The promise. What do I mean by promise? In a blended family, in any family, you need to believe that greatness is possible for your children. Greatness is possible for your children and your marriage. The stats are out. People who have not been married, and they get married, 50% chance it'll make it. People that are married before, they get married again, 30% chance. Okay? Without Jesus Christ, without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, you really are barking up a tough tree, baby. But I tell you what, all things are possible through Jesus Christ. Amen? I believe that. I've seen it time and time again. Now listen to me. You need to believe that greatness is possible for your kids and for your marriage. A lot of people, they go through, they're in a blended situation. They think there's been so much hurt. Nothing good can come out of this. I'm hurting. Look at the bad situation. You need to stop that. You need to let Jesus Christ take the sting away. He can do it. He can take that sting of that hurt away. Now, it doesn't make everything go away, but that sting, His peace, can come into your life. And you need to start believing great things for your children. Great things for your children. Did you forget that Ruth was a heathen? Her people's name meant incest? Did you realize that Boaz's mother was a prostitute? But guess what? Pop the scripture up. We have it. The women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left me this day without a kinsman, that His name may be famous in Israel. Watch it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name. The neighbors named the child, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they shall call his name. Say this part with me. Obed. He is the father of? The father of? Greatness. Greatness. Greatness can come. I think only greatness can come through a traditional family where they've never been married. That's a lie. Greatness comes from God. Amen? Greatness comes from His grace and mercy. And buddy, there's hope when you have Jesus. I'm telling you something right now. But you've got to start believing that. Instead of being negative, you never mind nothing just like you did. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say that. You're great. You're going to be great. I'm praying for greatness for you. And then this marriage, instead of looking at it like what all you went through in the previous one, expect great things from this marriage. The person you're married to is not the person you were married to before. And there is hope. Are you hearing me today? Promise. You got to believe it, man. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Just like you went through the first one, and all that trouble, and all that pain, all that hurt, you probably caused it, they caused it, who knows who did it? I don't know, but He wants to keep reminding you of that. Jesus Christ says to you today, I'm come that you might have life, and might have it more abundantly. I want His children to be great, I want to be blessed, I want your marriage to make it. Promise. The last R, be redeemed. Be redeemed. Be redeemed. It was all about the Son. It was all about the Son. I thought the stories about Ruth and Boaz, it was all about the Son. That Son was born, and then David, King David, was later born, and then hallelujah, Jesus Christ, our Savior, came right through this family line. You look it up. It's in your Bible. Check it out sometime. You can trace it right back to these two people that have problems. You hear me? Be redeemed. It's your choice today if you want to be redeemed. It's your choice. It all starts with the Son. It all starts with the Son. It's all about the Son. Did you hear me today? That's why you need Jesus. Well, I'll be redeemed on my own. I'll do what? It's all about the Son. It ain't about you. It's all about the Son. The Son was born in Bethlehem. That's the one that saves you. You can't save yourself. Why? It's all about the Son. He's the one that gives you the inheritance. See, He got to get His land. You hear me? He went to prepare a mansion for us, a place up in heaven for us. See, the Bible in Revelation says He has the keys to both death and hell. What do you need to know, the Son?
Amen.
Be redeemed today. Pop it up, Raj. The Blending Family, say it with me out loud if you don't mind. Here we go. Passion, be realistic. Purpose, be ready. Priority, be responsible. People, get reinforcement. The last one, promise.
Be redeemed.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Thank you today for listening. Praise the Lord.